It's 8:13. Steve Ogden joins us. So what did you think of that Slovenia soccer game this morning, Steve?
Well, I'm sorry I missed it. But I really meant to get up and watch it.
Yeah.
What happened?
I know. I'm not sure. Well, if you were listening.
I'm beyond redemption. I will never think soccer belongs in America, but that just shows me how
go ahead and tell Steve what the score was.
Well, Steve, it was a Slovenia 1 and Algeria 0. Just as you'd picked it.
Yeah. Yeah, just how you thought that was going to happen.
Well, let's start with politics.
We got him giggling.
I know. That's we good, do, yeah. And we're going to talk about the Big 12 in a minute. But first, let's talk about the Republican State Convention took place up in Dallas last weekend. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I showed up late and left early, so I wish I could give you a more comprehensive report, but you know, the convention was different than it was 2 years ago, and it was different than it was in previous sessions. It is it was much more energetic and enthusiastic and motivated than it was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, it was almost like going to a funeral, but people were really energized about the coming election in November, and there was lots and lots of new delegates, and it may be hard for people who aren't involved in Republican state politics to appreciate, but it is probably the most conservative convention that I've seen, and it continues to move and become more and more conservative than it was in past sessions. I think one of the most interesting things I saw on the way to the convention was a billboard with President Bush's picture on it, and this is 43's, and it says, "Miss me yet?" How's all that change and hope working out for you?
Yeah. Well, so now as you get ready, you're going to have their elections in November, and then you go into session. I mean, did that kind of recharge Republicans who are looking to, obviously you're going to have the budget shortfall. Does that kind of make you feel good to know that these vocal people or these politically active people certainly want to have less government out there if at all possible?
Well, I guess so, but you know, reality and rhetoric are two different things, and a lot of things that people are saying are not going to work in the context of the state budget. Although I would say that at the Republican convention, there, you know, you get a very clear message that whatever you do, don't raise taxes.
Yeah.
And the message is, if the choice is between raising revenue and cutting spending, we want you to cut spending, and there is no ambiguity in that. So to that extent, it's helpful, but most of the angst and most of the anger and most of the frustration is focused at the national level. I think, Governor Perry is on the rise, I think, politically. I think he was well-received at the convention, and he gave a traditional but very conservative speech about more freedom, less government, leave Texas alone type of speech. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but, he's on the cover of Newsweek magazine this week with his boots and flag saying, "Come and take it."
Oh, my. Oh, all right. Now, I hadn't seen that yet. Bring back Goliath. Well, I did see a picture of him actually on the podium with Kay Bailey Hutchison, or was that photoshopped? I mean, did they really stand up there together?
No, there was an effort to make, come together, circle the wagons, make amends. And so there was a concerted effort to show that there was no, at least publicly, no long-term animosity.
Now, I see that today the president...
I did hear some speculation, and, I can't say one way or another, that about people who were interested in replacing Senator Hutchison at the end of her term, that she may not resign. She may run for re-election again.
Decide she likes it okay.
Huh? Well, I don't know.
Well, anyway,
didn't ask me.
Well, we'll watch for that. All right, so the president now is going to request $50 billion more to help out state and local government. And obviously the Congress is a little bit cool to this. They're a little bit reluctant, but on the state side, is state leadership, what's your thought on that?
Well, that it reminds me of that great phrase, I was against it before I was for it.
Okay, yeah.
And at the state level, the biggest unknown is how much the federal government is going to assist the states with paying for Medicaid. Traditionally, the split is 60% federal, 40% state. Last biennium, the federal government in their stimulus program made the split 70% federal, 30% state. Well, that change, which is just a number to most people, made all the difference in the world in us writing the last budget, and will make all the difference in the world writing the next budget, because the difference between a 60% match and a 70% match in dollars is, get a load of this, $4.4 billion.
Golly. Wow.
We spend $44 billion on Medicaid, which is health insurance for the poor,
yeah,
every biennium, and a 10% swing is $4.4 billion. Well, the big issue in the Congress is the states could really use the help, but we don't. But should we borrow the money, because we don't have the money,
mm-hmm,
give them the help? And what I tell people is if they make a 70-30, if they maintain the 70-30 match, it's going to be relatively easy to write the next state budget. But if they go back to a 60-40 match, it's going to get pretty ugly.
And again, we're better off than a whole lot of, than most all the states, than most all
the states. That's right, that's right, that's right. And cutting spending in Medicaid is possible, but it is very difficult because the federal government has declared people who are eligible for Medicaid an entitlement. They're entitled to it. You cannot do an across-the-board cut, or you cannot change eligibility standards, or you can't say, all right, we'll pay for this or not, because it is a legal entitlement. So once you're in for the whole thing. That is it's a very poor system, but that's the way it is right now. And that is the biggest unknown facing the next budget, not the $18 billion deficit or whatever everybody wants to call it,
right,
but what the federal match is going to be for Medicaid.
Yeah, we got a bunch of people who are on that list. Okay, now I guess you were in the Texas House when the Big 12 Conference was formed. Is that about right? It's 14 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I was a senior member over there.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I couldn't remember for you that you were in the House or you weren't in the Senate yet, is what I'm saying.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Now we're talking about this thing falling apart, and obviously Baylor politically was much more connected than they are now. But what basic buzz is out there as to what's going to happen with all this?
Well, I wish I knew a little bit more talking to you today than I do. I mean, last week I was busy doing other things, and Wayne Slater stopped me in the lobby of the hotel and said, what's the number one issue facing Texas? And I stood there and looked at him like I didn't know. And he goes, what's going to happen to the Big 12? And I go, oh, yeah, duh. Your state senator's really plugged in right now.
Well, that's what people care about. You know, it was 2 years ago, it was being able to see the Dallas Cowboys every place, and now it's, what's going to happen to all this stuff? And Wayne Slater writes for the Dallas Morning News, in case folks don't know. But
let me amplify that a little bit.
Sure.
I am worried about college athletics and A&M athletic department in a much bigger scheme than what conference they're going to go in. At Texas A&M and at the University of Texas and other big schools, these athletic departments have become basically giant entertainment enterprises that whose only focus is how to get more money. And at the end of the day, I think this money chase and this emphasis on bigger, bigger, more and more is corrupting the missions of the schools. I frankly would prefer less emphasis on this issue, not more. But how that can be accomplished, I don't know. I think we're harming our universities by basically putting so much emphasis and so much focus on money in intercollegiate athletics. And when you talk about the Big 12 or the SEC or the Pac-10, at the end of the day, the bottom line is TV contracts. That's all it's about, is how much money can we get for our TV program, because the more money we get, the bigger athletic program we can have. And I think it's a bubble that inevitably is going to burst.
Can you legislatively do something to direct a portion of that revenue back into a general revenue fund for those universities? Is that something the legislature could do?
I mean, we could, but, you know, it's a complicated issue. For example, Texas A&M and the University of Texas, by and large, are self-supporting entities in their athletic department, in that they generate enough money to pay for their athletic department. They don't have to be subsidized by the university. As far as I know, they're the only two schools in Texas that don't require a direct subsidy from the university to maintain their programs. With the other thing that is that in the appropriations bill, there is a provision that said no money appropriated in this budget may be used for intercollegiate athletics. So without the money hook, basically, we're paying for this, so therefore you'll do what we say, and that doesn't exist because the taxpayers really aren't paying for the athletic program at Texas A&M University. There's not a lot we can do. I mean, it's an auxiliary enterprise of a state entity, so they're subject to state regulation. But the fact is that since we're not appropriating state dollars to run them, there's not a whole lot of monetary leverage, and there's very little political leverage. But I would suggest that depending on how these issues play out, there may be some legislative interest next session in addressing what I see as the excesses and the corrupting influence of intercollegiate athletics.
Wow. That would be large, obviously. There is a pile of money there. Hey, thanks for the time this morning. We'll talk again in a little while, because I know you've always got new stuff that's bubbling up, whether it's football or oil off the coast or something like that.
Well, yeah, I'll be happy to. Thanks for asking me to be on, and look forward to talking to you later.
All right, thanks a lot, Steve.